What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Smooth Midnight Massive Breakdowns. Hopefully the sound quality this week will be professional enough to where we sound like an actual podcast or like a radio show. This is episode 194. We first off have had so many sound issues tonight. It has been something amazing. We both spent all of the last 2 weeks working with people in the Discord, shout out to Mr. Sutton, trying to get our sound to be crisp and clear and beautiful. And then tonight when we logged on, both of us have separately had just ridiculous sound issues. So we are now starting recording almost 45 minutes later than we normally do, which we already record pretty late at night. So this is going to have to unfortunately be a short episode, but let's keep our fingers crossed that despite the length of the episode, at least hopefully it sounds pretty good. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that one.
Absolutely. Yeah. Short but sweet. That's the goal here.
All right, so let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I cannot complain. Life has been good to me. I've been having a lot of fun this week. I have not been able to play as much Destiny as I would like. I have not been able to farm a certain weapon. But I have played some Crucible, and I've killed the High Celebrant. And, life is good. How about you?
It's actually been the same for me. It's been weird how busy this week has been. I've barely been able to get on Destiny. Most of my spare time has just been spent reading what short little bursts of it I've had. The problem is that I have become obsessed with trying to solo the Harbinger mission, but I'm trying to do it as blindly as I can. Like, I kind of know the general outline of the mission, but I have not watched any guides or anything like that, so I'm trying to do it as blindly as I can. And the problem is that mission is just an absolute bitch, and it takes a very long time. And so I have like sat down during the spare time that I've had and gotten into it, and then realized that like there are no checkpoints, and if you leave the mission, you just have to restart all the way back at the beginning. So I've gotten all the way to the third wave in the circular boss room. And I actually killed the wizards, and then I don't even know what it was that killed me. Just some random ad killed me, and I was like, "Damn it!" Just like threw the controller down. I was like, "Ah, screw this!" So I'm gonna have to take another whack at it this weekend and try to get it for myself, because that is the type of challenge I like. It feels difficult, but it feels fun, or at least it has so far. So I'm hoping that little circular boss room is the most most difficult part of the encounter.
You just described my experience trying to solo Prophecy. So, you get so far, you get to a room, and random ad kills you right when you think that you've got everything on lock. Just red bar spawned behind you.
And you die. That was pretty much how it worked. But it's been really fun so far. So what we're going to do today is we're going to talk a little bit about the TWAB. There wasn't anything tremendous that came out of it, but there were a couple of things in note that we'd like to point out, mostly reward and you know, chase-wise. And then we're going to break down the Hawkmoon, which, you know, we've kind of been waiting to do until random rolls come out. And lo and behold, here they are. And they're associated with the Harbinger mission. So we're going to break down the Hawkmoon for you guys as well. We're going to talk about what rolls we're going to be chasing, what roles we're going to be angling for, stuff like that. It's not like it's a particularly complex topic. It is a hand cannon, and as a hand cannon, there are certain things that you're going to prize over others. But we'll talk about that in a minute. First, let's get the housekeeping done. We have both a new review and I believe a new patron to thank. So, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You know what? Why don't we go ahead and get the thank yous said right here at the outset, possibly the earliest thank yous in an episode in recent memory, and I'm drawing it out almost to push them further back to the more usual time. But let's say some big, massive thank yous to ZenSoCal and The Shazzle for their sponsorship of the podcast. These two guardians going above and beyond to support what we're doing here, and keep us ad and, you know, corporate sponsor free for all of you. Also want to throw a big thank you to new patron, GoToEnergy. I don't know if that's GoToEnergy is how that's supposed to be said. That's what I'm thinking. That's what it feels like.
Seems to make sense.
So thank you so much, GoTo Energy, for joining the crew. And I see we've got a Discord reward linked, so I hope that we see you in Discord very soon. Make sure to say hi. We're always excited to meet a new fan of the podcast, somebody who loves Destiny's Guns as much as we do. So thank you again, and I think that brings us to the end of new business for the Patrons Corner this week. So let's throw it over for some reviews.
So we only have the one review. It's actually short and sweet, and one of the most interesting reviews that we've ever been left. I have a feeling this person left this review just so that we would have to read it out on the air.
Oh boy.
But it is 5 stars. Changed my life. It's from James Shanks, or it's either James Shanks or James Hanks.
Hmm.
But he said, this podcast fixed my ED. And that's it. So I would hope that what it was that fixed his ED was the wonderful sounds of our voices now that we've got our audio crisp and clean. We sound like some of those late night radio hosts that just, you know, lull you to sleep with our dulcet tones. But maybe it was all the talk of weapons that helped him with that issue.
James Hanks, I'm glad to hear that that we were able to assist in forming your spire. And I suppose we'll just leave it at that and move right along, because this is a family show, folks.
As much as it can be. So the TWAB did come out earlier today. There wasn't a ton of stuff in it, which is a little disappointing concerning the minor uproar that was caused last week with them reissuing weapons and basically just admitting that maybe sunsetting hasn't gone quite as well as they would have liked. But they did want to talk to us a little bit about chases and rewards. So they're going to bring back Umbral Engrams, which is a good thing, because I think everybody really appreciated the Umbral system with the prismatic recaster and everything. They are going to nerf the drop rate just a tiny little bit, which will also be, in my opinion, actually great, because by the end of the season, man, were we besieged by Umbral Engrams.
Yeah, it was too much.
And they're not only bringing back the prismatic recaster, but they're bringing back an additional, even tighter focusing thing called a prismatic lens, which is pretty great. So as always, the seasonal activity will be the best way to get Umbral Engrams, but you can get them from pretty much everything that you do. My only concern will be that's nice and dandy that they're bringing back Umbral Engrams, but what's going to be inside of them? Is it going to be things that we care about? Because if it's not, then the Umbral Engrams themselves won't really help us that much.
Yeah, that is going to be really, like, I'm excited for Umbral Engrams to come back. I thought that was a ton of fun. It was a great chase. It kept me invested in playing the game and chasing rolls on weapons all season long. I really enjoyed it. Although, legit, it was too many engrams. I didn't have time for that. But that's sort of a positive problem in some ways. So the question really is, yeah, are there going to be guns that we will want to chase all season? Are there going to be enough guns where if I finish chasing 2 or 3, will I still have 1 or 2 more that I might want to get? And will they stick around long enough that they'll be worth the time and the effort that I put in? I will say, you know, I spend a lot of time chasing false promises the first go round, and I have been using the heck out of that auto rifle lately. It's been a ton of fun. So I'm glad that I did, because I've really been able to enjoy it. But it's got a deadline on it, and I'm definitely thinking about that going into this next season.
Okay, so the other thing of note that is coming from the TWAB is they are looking at titles, and they are adding a new feature in called Gilded Titles. And basically for the Dredgen, Unbroken, Conqueror, and Flawless titles, there will be optional things that you can complete each season. And if you complete them, then it will put a little pip on your title, and it will change the color of your title. And then every season, those things will clear away. Your title will go back to normal, but the pip will stay. And there'll be another set of options, optional things that you can do for the next one. So I like this. It's a neat way to revisit titles that you've already gotten in each new season, without making you completely redo the entire title. I really, really like that they're going to change the color of the title, that they're going to put a little pip. It's kind of weird that like the title, the color seemingly just like goes away at the end of the season. What I thought they would have done was that each season was a new color. And like as you gilded them, you got to collect those colors and you could choose which one you wanted. But it doesn't look like they're doing that. It looks like the example they showed was an orange title instead of purple. And then they're seemingly saying that at the end of the season, the orange goes away and it just goes right back to being purple. But you'll notice that there's like a little pip on the title that shows that you got it. And I think that those things are going to start to stack up, you know, like the pips on, you know, Picard's collar in TNG.
Right.
That, you know, four shows that he's a captain or whatever. So I think, so I do like the little pip thing.
Wait, but wait, I wish we're Star Wars themed now. We can't be.
We've done a Star Trek before. Have we done a Star Trek? Yeah, we did some Picard ones, but then I stopped watching that show completely. Like, I literally still have not finished Picard, which blows my mind.
Oh, you really should.
I got a Star Wars kick.
Rewatch from the beginning. It actually, because the ending is so worth the journey.
I know. Yeah, it got a little weird in the middle of it, and then I kind of just zoned out for like 2 weeks, and then the buddy I was watching it with ended up finishing the thing without me, but that's a discussion for an IRL podcast. So
anyway,
we don't need to talk about that here. But yeah, so I really like the idea of gilded titles. I think that they'll probably improve on it as we go. Unfortunately for me, most of the titles that I actually like collect are the seasonal titles,
right,
and the Age of Triumph ones. Like I don't, you know, I have Dredgen. Obviously, everyone has Dredgen, but like I have no interest in getting Unbroken. I don't really particularly want to get Flawless. Like, maybe I'll get Conqueror one day or another. But so as for me, it's like, oh no, I'm going to have to go into Gambit to do this Dredgen stuff to get a Gilded Dredgen.
See, I'm actually, I might finish Unbroken because I'm really not that far away from it. Like, it's just a matter of putting my mind to the grind. And I wasn't motivated to do that this season. I needed a break after some chases. The season before, I think I knocked out like every seasonal Crucible quest that I had never finished from the beginning of the game. Like legit every, I think I got almost every Crucible pinnacle weapon in one season. And then I was done for a little bit.
And then you took a season to just do strikes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was like, okay, that's sufficient. But yeah, really looking at it, I'm not that far. I might do the Unbroken. And I think these are certainly kind of the most general titles, right? The core rituals. A lot of people have at least one of these. People say that Dredgen is super easy to get. I'm like so far away from getting Dredgen. I've actually played a lot of Gambit, so I don't know why I'm so far away from it. But anyway. I think this is cool. I think anything that they can add in to acknowledge the time and the effort that we've put into the game is a positive thing, especially in an age of sunsetting. This is a small thing. Some people might call it bread and circuses, a bit of a distraction from the other issues that you might have with the game, but I would say, look, it's a game. And if getting a little pip and a glow on your title makes you feel good, then you felt good, and that's sort of the point. So don't.
Well, they're not gonna sunset the titles,
right?
Right. Like, well, the titles are evergreen. Yeah.
So you know they can add this in, and they can also work on resolving the issues with weapon and armor sunsetting. It's not a one or the other scenario, right? It's not a zero sum game.
And yeah, so that was pretty much it. It was not a meaty TWAB, but there were some positive things. I'd say that overall it was a positive TWAB because, like, you know, like you said, changes to the titles are cool. Umbral Ingram's coming back is a good thing. They also did mention that obviously the seasonal stuff is sticking around for like the entire year because they don't want people to be FOMOing into it. And FOMO is one of my least favorite things of all time, probably only behind sunsetting. So I'm very glad that they have at least realized that, like, hey, it's not cool to motivate your players to play an extreme amount over a short period of time because of fear of losing out on a bunch of content. So it's really cool that they're moving away from the FOMO model because I think that is extraordinarily good for the health of the game.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. It also very much explains why Crow is just like continuing to chill in Spider's lair, despite Spider having actually kicked him out. In perhaps the most awkward breakup in Destiny history. I thought those two were together for life, but it just didn't work out.
Get out of my house, and he goes back to the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, it's your house, but this is my room.
They said that Crow was designed, or this season was designed under the old model. And so it appears that Crow will probably be in multiple places starting next season. But anyways, speaking of Crow, the Harbinger mission came out. Yes. And with the Harbinger mission comes random rolls on the Hawkmoon. The Hawkmoon is a gun that came out. I very, very much enjoy the Hawkmoon. It's actually probably my favorite hand cannon to use right now. But, you know, that is because I'm one of those people who loves the idea of, like, stacking critical hits to get a super bullet. Like, that's just, I love mechanics like that. We've talked about it before. That's why I love stuff like Symmetry. That was why I love things like Firefly, Triple Tap, stuff like that. I just love that type of mechanic, right? So, of course, I love Hawkmoon.
Absolutely.
But what I was really, really excited for was random rolls on Hawkmoon, because right now I think the reason that a lot of people were not blown away with Hawkmoon is because you have another incredible hand cannon that's an exotic, Ace of Spades, one of your favorites.
Yeah.
Which has a lot of strengths, but probably most importantly in a competitive environment has extraordinary amounts of range. Like has really, really great range. And there's one thing that Hawkmoon didn't have, it was outstanding amounts of range. However, now, with random rolls, you can get a randomly rolled barrel, and you can get a randomly rolled trait. Both of those things have the capacity to help you with range. So, fresh off the bat, let's start looking at Hawkmoon. We probably need to go back over its stats, just because, you know, we kind of haven't really talked about Hawkmoon, I don't think, at length. Have we talked about Hawkmoon at length?
Just in passing. It's not since... Not since Destiny 1 have we discussed Hawkmoon, I think.
Okay, so what we can do then, Hawkmoon is interesting as an exotic in that it does have random rolls, and the only perk that it is forced to have, besides obviously its exotic perk, is Alloy Mag, which does not affect any of the stats. So the stats that you see listed in the database are actually the stats for Hawkmoon. So the range is 57, which is above average. The stability is 67, which is above average, but... for hand cans as a whole, really the only ones that are close to that are like the precisions, like the 180s. If you're looking at other 140s, if you're looking at 120s, 67 is very, very good in terms of stability wise. And you can feel it when you're using the gun. You can feel it's a very stable gun. The handling is excellent up at 74. The reload speed is good at 63. And of course, because you have paracausal shot, which means the last round in the magazine does bonus damage depending on the number of headshots that you got before that last round, and you also have alloy mag, the reload speed when you're on an empty mag is very, very quick, especially after you've used the paracausal charge. The aim assist is 93, which is very high. The zoom is 1.4 times, which is standard for a hand cannon. Recoil direction is 96, which is pretty much perfect. And the magazine size is 8. Some people have pointed out the low magazine size as being an issue with the gun. But the whole point of the gun is for you to get down to that last shot, the bonus damage shot, and then be able to use that on someone. So I would not explicitly say that that is a bad thing for the gun, because if your magazine was like 13 or something, it would be so, so much harder to get down to that last round and actually use it.
An alloy magazine really does give you an extremely fast reload for a hand cannon. So I think that the mag size is not going to be that big a deal. Let's face it, most of us are reloading after every engagement anyway. So there are only a few situations where you might kill one person and then have another pop up immediately where you might run into trouble. And I think that's just going to be learning how to adapt your playstyle to use this particular weapon, which really seems to be geared toward winning 1v1s.
Yeah, and it's not particularly hard to get a two-tap with the paracausal shot bonus damage. It's really not even that particularly hard to get a one-tap. I believe if you have 6 stacks, you can one-tap someone with a crit, and if you have 7 stacks, you can one-tap someone with a body shot, which basically makes it like a pocket golden gun. So I, particularly when I was using it, I was getting, you know, one-taps a handful of times a game and two-taps quite often. I actually think it's quite a strong weapon, potentially stronger in sixes, than it would be in competitive, just because of the nature of how many people you're going to run into in sixes, and how you're going to be able to kind of farm headshots more easily in sixes than you will be in competitive, but still a very good gun. And it's also worth mentioning that it does come with a catalyst now when you beat Harbinger. It gives you one additional and the mag size, which kind of gives you one more chance to either maybe miss a shot. But at the same time, it doesn't make the mag size so large that it makes it dramatically difficult to get down to that last round. And then in addition to that, it also grants increased handling, reload speed, and range based on the number of stacks of paracausal charge, which is a really, really, really strong, really strong catalyst. Because a lot of people were complaining like, oh, paracausal charge doesn't do anything, it's only about damage on the last bullet. Well, now every headshot you get increases the range of the gun and makes the gun feel a ton better.
Yeah, that's huge right there. Just totally ignoring the you know, the sort of semi-final round ability that it has, that right there makes the gun, for me, worth investing some time in.
Yeah, and it also kind of changes the way you look at perks, right? Because if it did not have that perk, then I would be saying go all in on range perks for the two that you've got, so that you can compete with Ace of Spades at the distances that it is.
I'm still going to say that. You do recall.
Yeah, and I'm still going to say that as well. But it's less now of like, if you don't get rifled barrel, your role isn't worth it, right? You know, I'm going to say that Hammerforged Rifling.
Right.
I'm going to say that Hammerforged Rifling is still probably the barrel perk that I'm going to roll with. But, you know, at the same time, I'm no longer going to balk at something like, you know, Small Bore, right? Or Corkscrew Rifling, which just gives +4 range.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden now you can get, you know, more range for the gun, a significant amount more range for the gun, just by landing headshots in the beginning shots of the mag, right?
To be honest with you, I'd even, depending on what I got for a grip, I'd even be all right with extended barrel. I hate to penalize the handling on a hand cannon, especially one like this where you're trying to build up stacks, but you may need to swap away. You may need to give up and pull out a shotgun real quick. But you know, if you can manage to pick up extended barrel and a polymer grip to negate that handling penalty, I think it's still worth it to get that +9.
Yeah, and remember that the catalyst. Jesus, I cannot remember for the life of me what those things were called. I kept wanting to say symmetry, which shows you what's on my mind right now. I kept wanting to say symmetry, but the catalyst also increases handling with stacks as well.
Yeah. Right.
So you can even afford to lose a little bit of that. I would also say, you know, if you're really interested in a 140 that feels like a 180, you can also just super stack stability. You can go like polygonal rifling, and in the grip section at the end, you could go with a heavy grip, which is +9 to stability.
Yeah.
And you could go with something like surplus. You go with something like surplus in the trait slot, because what you can do is you can actually darn near max out stability if you do that. And you will legitimately have a 140 that feels, you know, it won't have quite the same recoil pattern, because the recoil pattern on the 180 is basically a sidearm recoil pattern. But it will be a very, very stable 140. And because of the catalyst, you will still not have that bad a range. I personally probably wouldn't do that. But at the same time, you know, because of the catalyst, I'm not going to be upset if I get polygonal rifling in the barrel. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's totally a possible strategy. And, you know, I feel like we're kind of jumping around a little bit here, but I think if you were to go that way, if you could pair it with Rangefinder to give yourself a nice little magnification and effective range boost, in addition to having maxed out stability, I think that gun is going to feel pretty good. And that little extra bit of zoom is going to go a little bit further than you might think, right? I feel like sometimes every 3 to 6 months, I feel like it's just worth kind of harping on Rangefinder is actually really pretty good. Even, you know, just giving you an extra 0.1 on your zoom is valuable. So
It's actually much stronger than almost any range perk in the game.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much Range Fighter does for you. So you are correct that we are jumping around, but the way I look at Hawkmoon is that there's like three ways to play this gun, right? There's the way I play the gun, which is I'm all about that last shot. Like, everything that I do on the gun is to make that last shot as powerful as it can possibly be. Like, I want a pocket golden gun. Like, that's what I'm doing when I use Hawkmoon. It's because I'm a sixes player, and like, that's the way that I find it to be the most fun way to play it, right? There's also the comp way to play it, where it's like, how can I make this like ace of spades with bonuses? You know, like, how can I make this the best gun flat out for the first three shots of the magazine, the ones that I need to kill? And then there's also the in-between way to play it that's like, how can I take advantage of the paracausal shots catalyst? Like, how can I take advantage of stacking those things? Like, what can I do? It's not going to be the best gun after three shots, and I might not even get to that last shot, but it damn well is going to be the best gun between shots, you know, like 4 to 6 or 4 to 7, right? So there's like three very distinct ways to play, and they all, interestingly, they all focus on different parts of the magazine. There's, I want my first three shots to be the strongest because those are the three I need to kill. I want my last shot to be the strongest because I want to one-tap somebody. I want the gun to feel great after I've gotten a couple of headshots, right? Like, those are the three different ways to look at it. And depending on which way you're looking at it, it kind of changes what it is that you're going to be looking for in the trait slots, right? So in the trait slots, me, the type of player I am, I want that last shot to be strong. So what am I looking for? My number one go-to is going to be opening shot. Why? Because opening shot isn't just the first shot of the magazine, is it? It's a 3 second reset and you get it again. Well, for me, what that means is that if I'm stacking paracausal and I'm getting to that last shot, there's probably going to be 3 seconds, before I fire that shot. What that basically means is that if I've got enough stacks, I've got like a, you know, an over the horizon or like a, I think it's an over the horizon was the golden gun. Shot that gave you increased range. Well, if I've got opening shot, I've got the bonus accuracy, I've got the bonus range. That means that one tap that I can put on someone is really going to be able to reach out and touch you.
Yeah.
And so for me, like, that's the ultimate. That's what I'm looking for, is like, I want a hammer forged rifling. I want a opening shot. And then I don't, you know, particularly care a ton about the grip because it's mostly stability and handling stuff. But like, I'll take a smooth grip or, you know, a polymer grip or something like that, because that's not really going to help me on that last shot. I don't care as much about that.
Now, one other kind of twist that there is to all of this is, once you've got that catalyst for Hawkmoon, once you've got it finished and in place, if you want to just take advantage of that for as long as possible, you can actually combine Hawkmoon with Lucky Pants, because Lucky Pants will reload Hawkmoon without removing the charges unless you're at time 7. Because if you're at time 7, you stow it, it does remove all the charges. But if you're at, say, time 6, you stow it, bring it back out, Lucky Pants will have reloaded it for you. You'll still be at time 6. You'll still have the bonus from the catalyst. All of that bonus range, stability, handling. And now you can just write it through another full magazine. So just something else to think about. I think there's going to be a number of very interesting ways to play with this gun.
And Lucky Pants gives you opening shot right after you draw the weapon anyways, right? So
yeah.
Whenever, basically, if I'm using a hand cannon, I'm using Lucky Pants, like, especially something like Ariana's Vow. Like, Ariana's Vow with Lucky Pants is just disgustingly good. It's basically a sniper rifle, especially if you're using a Charge of Light build and you have Charge of Light and you can one tap people. But that, unfortunately, is neither here nor there. So that's my personal build that I'm going to be looking for. Is I'm going to be looking for, I want a little bit more range. I want opening shot. I want to do everything that I can to make that last shot the most powerful one. And then what that also does is it frees up to where I really don't care a ton about the grip, and I can kind of just take what I get there. I'm only really looking for two perks, and I'm really only looking for the one perk because, as we discussed earlier, you know, the catalyst is so darn good that, you know, even if I get like a stability perk and the barrel, I'm not going to be like, trash it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm trying to get 6 or 7 stacks of paracausal anyways. So, you know, it is what it is. But what's the way that you are thinking about playing Hawkmoon?
So I'm really, I think, I'm really more interested in trying to push for the catalyst and then take advantage of being able to build up stacks. That's part of the reason I mentioned Lucky Pants, is because for me, being able to just rack up this huge bonus and then just take advantage of it over a long period of time. It's maybe a bit optimistic, thinking that I will be able to consistently get through that many rounds. But if the gun plays as well as it seems like it might, then maybe it's not going to be optimistic. Maybe it's going to be just a ton of fun. And so I'm definitely probably going to be hanging on to a few. Likely, if I can get a good opening shot roll, that will be hanging out in the vault as one of my options. But another way that I'm considering going is looking for probably ideally hammerforged rifling, although I would take small bore. And then rangefinder in the trade slot to be able to just consistently have that extra range, compete with other long-range hand cannons, give me a little more consistency. And then I think I wouldn't be super picky about the grip at that point, aside from the fact that I want nothing to do with combat grip. +4 recoil direction. Like, are you kidding me? Why even make that an option? So I'd be happy with polymer grip. I'd be happy with smooth grip. I think those two would be my optimal choices. I'd probably prefer to stay away from heavy or texture because I don't really want to penalize either the stability or the handling. I think they're both at pretty good levels. I think that's probably the role I'm going to chase.
You know, and if you're interested in stacking the catalyst, then another option is to also try to get surplus.
Yeah.
Because surplus increases handling and reload speed and stability for each fully charged ability. So if you sit on your abilities and then you also stack paracausal shot,
yeah,
you can basically get double increases to handling, double increases to reload speed, and stability and range increases, which basically makes the gun just the best feeling weapon in the game.
Yeah.
Which is really, really fantastic. So another option, because there's another one.
At that point, you're probably pushing close to 100 on all of those stats.
Yeah, and the gun is just going to feel gorgeous. But a secondary option for that is Killing Wind.
Right.
Killing Wind, because you're really going to start feeling the differences after a few stacks of paracausal. Well, Killing Wind will build up after a kill, and it grants you increased mobility, increased range, and increased handling, right? So it's like you have two different options. If you're really interested in, like, I want to see how good I can make this gun feel between, you know, 3 and 6 stacks of paracausal shot, then I want to hold those 6 stacks for a while. Well, Surplus and Killing Wind are both, like, right there for you. Like, hey, let's double up on some of these bonuses. Let's really make these things feel great.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said for Killing Wind on this weapon. I think it's got a lot of potential, especially if you're able to stack things up and take advantage of the paracausal shot to get that kill right at the end. Another option that I've been eyeing is using this gun as a means to quickly finish someone. I don't think it's necessarily the optimal archetype for that. Certainly Steady Hand is very popular right now, and for good reason. In terms of delivering the finishing blow. But if you were to pair this with a special grenade launcher or a sniper rifle, you can get quick draw. And then you could pair that with, say, heavy grip, since you can now tank your handling all you want to. And then if you've got, say, extended barrel or hammer forged rifling, it gives you a few more options in terms of getting a max range barrel, and then you can very easily throw some mods on, shoot your shot, swap to Hawk Moon, it'll be out like literally instantly, and you're ready to go. Again, probably would combine that with Lucky Pants to take advantage of the reload benefits of Lucky Pants, since you're going to be swapping back and forth constantly. And so I think that would be another That'd be another role I'm probably going to be keeping my eyes open for, to see how that feels.
Yeah, And then the third and final way, I think, to play it is the way we talked about, where you just want the gun to feel as good as it possibly can from the initial shots. I think the two best perks for that are both rangefinder and moving target. I think rangefinder is probably going to be the higher tiered of the two, because nobody ever says no to more range on hand cans, but moving target, do not sleep on it. The buff to aim assist is nice, but really the buff to mobility is key. The buff to your ADS strafe speed is really, really key. Not enough people take advantage of the strafe in this game, and I absolutely love it. And I know hand can users are like, oh, well, I'm airborne most of the time anyways. It's like, well, that's great for you, right? But there are still going to be times when you're planted, where you're in a one-on-one engagement, where a little bit faster strafe can be the difference between someone missing you and someone hitting you. And I absolutely love moving target. I think it's a tier one perk for PvP. So if I were someone who is like, all I care about is the first three shots of this gun, I just want the gun to feel as good as possible during those three shots, I don't care about anything else, I'm trying to compete with Ace of Spades and comp, then I'm probably going to get rangefinder. If I can't get rangefinder, then I'll go moving target.
Yeah, I would definitely say on this gun especially, it's for me, very much second tier. In no small part because Hawkmoon already has 93 aim assist. And there is such a thing as having more aim assist than you can use. And I suspect moving target puts you into that area. Like, if you got, say, moving target, and then you threw a targeting adjuster mod on the gun, or I guess it's an exotic, so you couldn't do that. I'm sorry, I'm thinking about legendaries. But anyway,
you put a hand cannon targeting on your helmet.
Yeah, you'd be at like 108 aim assist. And that doesn't work. It only goes to 100. So don't fall into that trap.
Well, actually, I don't know that moving target doesn't act as a scaler bonus, as opposed to, because what we've seen with handling, what we've seen with reload speed, is that there's stat bonuses and then there's scalar bonuses.
Possible.
And the scalar bonuses can buff past 100. So it wouldn't surprise me, because moving target's a conditional, and usually the scalars are conditionals, right? So usually the stat bonuses are just static. It's just plus 20. Right, and then the scalar bonus is like a conditional scalar that applies, like alloy mag, when your magazine is empty, scalar, right? Something like that. So it wouldn't surprise me if it did that. But, you know, regardless, I get what you're saying. If I have a comparison between the two, I'm going to take a rangefinder roll pretty much every day over moving target. But another sleeper option is actually Eye of the Storm.
Yeah.
The Storm, unfortunately, requires you to at least have your shields broken and then to be at critical health. Or I think it's 50% health and then shields broken are the two tiers where it activates, which means it will only ever activate on the tail end of an engagement if you're in a normal 1v1. Obviously, there are times when you can be severely damaged before at the beginning of an engagement, and then Eye of the Storm will be active for the entire time. But it's not going to help you kill any faster, so unless the other person misses their shots, you're still going to die. But Eye of the Storm makes the gun massively easy to hit headshots with when it's active, especially on the second tier. It's like having super opening shot. Basically, if you're like pointed in their direction, you're going to get a crit. So Eye of the Storm is actually a good dueling option. I'm just hard pressed because it's like, well, or I could have rangefinder or moving target, which helps me on every single shot.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm going to compare Eye of the Storm, it's like, well, I'd kind of much rather just have opening shot because I have more control over when that activates than I do Eye of the Storm, but Eye of the Storm has the potential to be active for more shots, so.
Yeah, Eye of the Storm is one of those where I think it's a really well-designed perk because it gives you a serious bonus, but at a cost, and so it definitely gives you a choice in terms of what perk you're going to go for. Unfortunately, I think in Destiny 2, it's been largely ignored, and I think in no small part that comes from people trying to imitate the best players, and the best players are probably not going to favor this perk because their goal is generally, if they're in a situation where they're damaged first, they're going to disengage. And they win an engagement by outpositioning you and then landing their shots. And so there's not a situation necessarily where they are going to be able to benefit a lot from a perk like this. But I think in terms of the general player population, maybe people love this perk and no one talks about it, but I think probably 75% of players in Destiny 2 could benefit from having Eye of the Storm and similar perks on their weapons, because let's face it, a lot of us are damaged, you know, solidly half the time that we're in the Crucible.
I know Cool Guy sings his praises, and I've also seen, like, every time I see people being like, oh, Destiny 2 has the craziest, most generous aim assist, and then they're showing a picture of them, like, aiming at someone's chest and getting a headshot, or aiming, like, a meter to the right of their head and getting a headshot, it's always with Eye of the Storm active.
Yeah, so, that sounds about right.
You know, yeah, take it for what it is. Eye of the Storm is a very, very situational perk, but it's a very, very powerful perk when it's active. Do not sleep on it. The forgiveness it gives the weapon is really tremendous.
If you can, I don't know that Hawk Moon is necessarily the best choice for it, but if you can get it on like a sidearm or another weapon with a really fast time to kill, it can get you out of a jam. So anyway, now I'm talking about a perk and not the weapon we're here to talk about.
Yeah. Well, you know, we've kind of already nailed it down, because I mean, it's not like, you know, Hawk Moon is not necessarily a unique archetype. It has a very interesting exotic ability, but it's kind of a very straightforward exotic ability, right? Land more headshots, do more damage, get more bonuses, get more, you know, stats.
Yeah.
I liked the gun before the catalyst. I liked the gun before random rolls. I imagine that once I finally successfully solo Harbinger, which I plan to do this weekend, I will probably like whatever randomly rolled gun I get, because the great thing is that when you're looking at the possible options here, I believe you have 9 possible options, or yeah, it's 9 possible options.
I think we've said we liked 7 of them.
Yeah, the only ones that really aren't at least decent are hipfire grip, which, you know, should be in the grips perk slot. Change my mind.
Yeah.
and snapshot. Those are the only two that aren't like, I'm not like in love with for at least one version of the gun or another. Speaking of grips, I really wish they would bring grips to every gun. I don't know why the grip perk is unique only to exotics. Like, you would think that they would want to put grips on every gun. It would just make sense. So I don't know why they're not doing that, but yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair question. Well, I think that more or less is Hawk Moon in a nutshell.
Yep, and that means more or less that is this episode in a nutshell. It was not a long episode, guys. We are sorry about that. We do have more that we want to talk about, but unfortunately, because we had audio issues that ate into almost a solid hour of what was normally our recording time, we are going to have to cut this one short this week. But hopefully, all those audio issues aside, hopefully our audio quality has actually dramatically improved. Let us know what you think in the Discord, on Twitter, but you know, fingers crossed. I'm really hoping that it sounds good this week.
Me as well, man. Me as well. I've now spent more time adjusting audio settings in the last week and a half than
we had in the 5 years prior that we were doing this podcast.
Probably, yeah. Now we're legit. As of a week ago, we're now finally podcasters.
Turns out we probably could have made ourselves sound better pretty easily, a lot more quickly than we have. You know, it took simple things like rotating a microphone, getting a mic stand, turning the volume down, that exporting in a different format that really made all the difference. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. But it was great talking to you guys. We'll see you next week. And I also believe that we're going to do an IRL cast next week as well.
That's the plan.
So let us know what Star Wars you want to talk about. Although I'm pretty sure that we're going to start with the original trilogy and do a New Hope, because as someone pointed out, we have done the prequels and we did one long episode basically ripping apart the sequels.
And we've done Clone Wars
and we've done Mando, but we've not done the original 3 Star Wars movies. How have we not done that?
It's, you know, they're almost too sacred to talk about. So offer your suggestions and then we will proceed to ignore them per usual. I think is
the unless your suggestion is do the original 3 Star Wars movies, in which case, hey, fantastic suggestion.
You read our minds.
All right, guys, we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in.
All right, bye. Peace.